This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who came to purify mankind and specifically to teach them the importance of making all of the actions, the intention sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, all of the prophets revolved around this core message of ikhlas billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, of sincerity and encouraging people to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus in the previous khutbah, before the lay subhanahu wa ta'ala, we spoke about ahmiyatul ikhlas, the importance of rectifying one's intention, of being sincere in our actions. Because the whole of Islam, the whole of one's faith revolves upon the intent of the individual. Even its build up to Ramadan, we to remind ourselves, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, indeed, remind that benefits the believers. The people who enter into the month of Ramadan with the intent to be only good, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. Then when they leave Ramadan, they go back to their normal life. Here we're not talking about an average individual, because many of us would fall prey to that. We're talking about a person who has a double intention, who makes the intention inside their heart, only in Ramadan I'm going to be a good Muslim. وَمُبَاشَرَةً. And as soon as Ramadan is over, I'll return back to my normal life. Intends that. That only this month, these 29, 30 days, I'll be a good Muslim. I'll do everything the doctrine tells me to do. But I've also made the intention inside my heart that as soon as Ramadan is over, I'll return back to my normal ways. تَجْتَنِبْ مِنَ الْفَوَاحِشِ مِنَ الزِّنَى. Person may stay away from zina, stay away from their friends, their associates, from drugs, from alcohol, all musiqa, ikhtila, music, singing, free mixing. Stays away from it for 29, 30 days. But inside their heart is, as soon as Ramadan is over, I'll return back to it. Fuqaha have mentioned, فَصِيَامُهُ بَاطِلٌ. Fuqaha have mentioned, a person who makes that double intention, their fasting has been nullified already. You've just wasted 29, 30 days of your life. وَلَيْسَ لَكَ أَجَرٌ. And there's no reward. That's how dangerous the intention is. And likewise, also it's dangerous to have an intention inside a person's life. A person, may Allah forbid, commit haram actions. But inside their heart, they know they are wrong. They know it's a ma'siyah. They know it's a disobedience. But a person, لا يقع في الزنا. Person doesn't fall in zina, doesn't take drugs, doesn't do haram, but believes inside their heart. فما هو الحرج. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with people practice these actions? What's wrong with people if they want to do munkarat, fawahish? Why should it trouble me? I don't do it in my life, but there's no harm if people do it. This person is a bigger sinner. Rather, the Islam is more questionable than the one who actually carries out that sin and acknowledges within their heart they're wrong. That person is more dangerous, who never does it inside their life, but expresses there's nothing wrong with people doing these actions, or there's no harm. It doesn't affect me, it doesn't concern me. All this revolves around the heart and the mind of the person. And thus we have to always focus inside our lives. That's why Fuqaha mentioned, يَقُون فِي الزَّاوِيَةِ. It has to be inside one pillar of the masjid. عَلِمْ يَجْلِسْ وَيُدَبِسُكَ الْإِخْلَاصِ. Just how you learn tafsir, hadith, you have to learn tazkiyah. You have to learn fiqh of ikhlas. Because many of us have become textual individuals. Life is just black and white. Quotations, academia, technicalities. That's what many of us average Muslims have become. We're lacking great spirituality. That's what we're lacking inside our lives. Many of us Muslims, this is what we lack. We know many things. We quote many things. But as for its deeper understanding, it's not textual. You need a body. You need role models who live the embodiment of the Quran and the Sunnah.
وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah sent down the dhikr. Well, dhikr bin asma' in Quran. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in the Muqaddimah fi usul al-tafsir, حوالي 50 اسماء للقرآن. وأنزلنا إليك الذكر. We said the dhikr, the Quran. But the Quran doesn't stop there. لتبين الناس ما نزل إليهم. You may go and explain to them. Who's going to explain the Quran? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is going to explain. This is how you implement the Quran. This is how you live the Quran. This is how you teach the Quran. You know, this is one of the biggest critiques of many of the Shabab. And this critique is true. We just read books. We read books and we think we just try to implement upon other people or the world around us. That's you find أن الفقهاء قليل. People who understand fiqh of deen are very few. They could be as ulama, they could be many ulama. But fuqaha tend to be different. Because a faqih is one who understands the rules and regulations, how to apply them, how to implement them, how to teach people what concerns them. And we can see what the masses of our concern is on a daily basis. Our daily concern isn't about our community, what's taking place inside a community. Sometimes our concern is far away. Or other concern, they don't even concern an average individual. Doesn't even concern an average individual, but we get so engrossed inside this. That already Ramadan hasn't begun, people are already debating about Salatul Tarawih. Already discussing this factor. 1,000 years have gone by, fuqaha have been debating about Salatul Tarawih. If you take 8 raka'at, if you take that view, what was Qawlul Rajih in the Bukhari? A hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Fi dakhil Ramadan, kharij Ramadan. The Prophet never went beyond 11 raka'at. That was his general practice. But if some fuqaha have gone to that view and they hold fast to that view, فلا حرج في ذلك. Let them be. Just express them. This is what the Quran and Sunnah teaches, what it encourages. Because many famous ulama have taken that view. Don't squander your Ramadan. Don't waste your Ramadan. Already the build up. This is what we begin to argue, to think about. This masjid is full of innovation. This masjid is not full of innovation. كم من القرآن حفظت؟ كم من القرآن قرأت في رمضان؟ أو كم قرأت من رمضان اللاحق السابق؟ That's the question you'd ask. How much of Quran have I read since last Ramadan? How much have I read? We can all stand as testimony witnesses over our own self. Because we're busy worrying about other things inside our lives. And that's the intention, is a key element. And a person focuses upon their heart, because this is what's going to benefit the individual. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Your wealth and your children will not avail you, will not benefit you. The only thing that's going to benefit you is your pure heart, sound heart. And that's as we mentioned that, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who's going to be the best in action, pure in action, tries their best, exerts themselves. Maybe a person may live a few days in Ramadan, may live the whole of Ramadan, may live a few years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it many times over, the ajr of that individual, based upon what? The intention. كَمْ مِنَّا فِي الصُّفُوفِ. How many of us stand in rows? And you find that the ajr of salah, it begins to decrease. How can it decrease if all of us are standing shoulder to shoulder? What's the difference? What's the variance amongst us that makes you lose reward? It's your intention, your sincerity, your focus, your khushu lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what makes the difference. The rest is, if I can use the word linguistic, it's just rituals. It's just movements that we make. The distinction is within. That Allah carries the distinction, raises that up and accepts it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find the intention that even if a person falls ill or a person travels, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gives reward to that individual. كَأَنَّ فِي الْحَضَرِ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُسَافِرًا. Even a person is just like they're in a state of stagnation. They're not traveling. Allah gives the reward of what that person used to do. Used to fast, used to make extra nawafil, extra sunnah, extra Quran recital. While the person is traveling, Allah gives a reward to that individual. وَإِذَا كَانَ مَرِيضًا. Person is sick, Allah also gives reward to that individual. Knows that this individual would have been doing these actions. Imagine if this is the ajr, the reward for a person in a state of sickness. This is what we want to focus upon today. The sick individuals. Imagine the person who goes and visits a sick individual. Because as we began with, life is technicalities for us. We don't see spirituality. We don't see how Islam encourages certain practices, as they say, to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person visits the sick individuals, it's for the person to reflect, to show gratitude, to give them hope, aspiration, and remind them of the reward that belongs to that individual. That's the hadith of today. أَعِدُ الْمَرِيضِ فِي مَخْرَفَةِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ. The person who visits a sick individual is in the orchards, is in the gardens, in the harvest of paradise. حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ. Until the person returns back. You are browsing, you are wandering in paradise. That's what the hadith describes. Person who is visiting a sick individual, you are plucking the fruits of paradise. And thus we find that numerous benefits that exist for the individual. You find whoever visits a sick brother of theirs, a caller calls out. Because, you know, once again, we are human beings who like to look at reward. That's what many of us, our life has become. What is the worldly gain? And the strange thing is that the Quran always speaks about the worldly gain. And so do prophetic traditions. Then it speaks about Al-Akhirah, because the human being, Allah ya'lamu man khalaq wa huwa al-latiful khabir. Does not Allah know what He has created? He's the most subtle, the most aware, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaks about encouraging us. You want things of the dunya, then I will give you things of the dunya as well, before I give you the Akhirah. A person who visits a friend of theirs, then the angel says, may you have goodness, and may your livelihood be good. Because some of us, we think that maybe if I go and visit an individual, maybe my risk will be taken away. Maybe I'm losing hours of my work. I'm losing my salary. I'm losing my time. What physical benefit do I get given to me? So the first reward is that the person is said to them, may there be increase inside your livelihood. And certainly you have gotten for yourself a palace in paradise. Hadith in Sunan Imam Tirmidhi. Some ulama of hadith make a critique about it, but we're going to mention other numerous authentic hadith which strengthen this. Amongst them, we find a man visits his brother in faith in another town. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel in a disguise and asks this individual that, where are you heading? Where do you intend to go? The person says, I'm heading to meet a brother of mine in this town. The angel asks, do you have any favor that you want to return back to him? Or you have to give to him? He replied, no, I love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm just going to go and visit this individual. The angel says, I am a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell you that Allah loves you as you love Him for His sake. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. No intent, no worldly gain. He's going sincerely only to visit that individual to gain the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find that you are visiting, as you mentioned, you are visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like you visit the masajid. Person should come with the intent, with a pure mind and heart. You're entering into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O children of Adam, when you come into the masjid, adorn yourselves, beautify yourselves, present yourselves. You're coming in front of whom? In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walillahi mathalul a'la. To Allah belongs the greatest example. Ta'ti imam al-mudir. You come in front of the director, al-malik, the king, sultan, person authority. How does a person present themselves? How do they look? How do they dress? What do they do? Walakin bin asr. Ta'ti imam Allah. You come in front of Allah. Tadkhul fil masjid. You come into the masjid. How do we enter? How do we behave? How do we conduct ourselves? This shows abda'af. This shows weakness within ourselves. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. We don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the due right. We don't give the due right. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need any right from us. But it's something for us. That your belief, عَظَمَةُ اللَّهِ subhanahu wa ta'ala, the magnificence, the greatness, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads that individual to present themselves. Person doesn't come arrogantly in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why ibadah, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, is nothing but degradation. That's what ibadah is. It's feeling lowly, feeling debased, feeling humble. مَا تَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُتَكَبِّرًا. Don't worship Allah in arrogance. Worship Allah with khudu' wal khushu' wal tadhallul. Worship Allah with humility, focus, commitment, feeling in a state of need, dire need. That's how a person should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when the rahmah of Allah comes, the mercy of Allah comes, the help of Allah comes, the assistance of Allah comes. Tuma'nina, sakina, tranquility. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. In the remembrance of Allah, hearts find tranquility. Where does a person find that? When you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how a person should engage when they come in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, another time, if you can use these words, when a person is visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith Qudsi that we find, Ya ibn Adam, maridtu falam ta'udni. Long hadith Qudsi. Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, maridtu falam ta'udni. I fell ill and you never visited me. Qala ya Rabb, وَكَيْفَ عُودُكَ وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Person says, Kayf, how is that possible? How can I come and visit you and you are the Lord of the worlds? It doesn't make sense. Ya Rabb, what are you asking me to do? قَالَ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ عَبْدِي فُلَانٍ مَرِضًا. Don't you know that such and such servant of mine, he fell ill. فَلَمْ تَعُدْهُ. And you never visited that individual. أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّكَ لَوْ عُدْتَهُ لَوَجَدْتَنِي عِنْدَهُ. Don't you know, if you went and visited that individual, you would have found me there. Found who? Found Allah there. What does it mean? التَّقَرُّبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Mercy of Allah. Remembrance of Allah. يَبْدَ Adam. Allah is calling out to the son of Adam. Hadith, it continues. That I was thirsty, I needed food. Same principle applies there. For what purpose? To encourage the individual's spirituality. Spirituality isn't just textbooks. Spirituality isn't just readings. This is also a great element of spirituality that benefits the individual themselves, reminds them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's when a person visits the sick individual. And numerous ad'iyah that we find, la ba's tahurun inshaAllah, in a hadith in Bukhari that we find. And no harm, no blame. Don't worry. Don't be upset. This is a form of alleviation, purification. As we know that every form of illness becomes a form of removing one's sins and hardship of the individual. As-salallahu al-azim, Rabbal arshu al-azim an yashfiyak. Had to read at least 7 times, pray for that individual. Ask by magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and magnificent throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you. Like what you find, أذهب البأس رب الناس واشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure this individual. Take away the amrad. Sakaman, meaning no blemish, nothing at all is left of the disease of the individual. These are the etiquettes that person goes when they go and visit another ill individual that we find. And likewise to remind them and remind ourselves of ikhlas, of nothing but tawheed. And that's what all life is. That's what the whole message of Quran is. Even when you go and meet a sick individual, remind them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's quite strange if you visit the mustashfa, visit the hospitals. وَحَتَّ فِي بَعْدَ الْفَنَادِقِ. Some hotels, what do you find placed there in the drawer? Open the drawer, you find a Bible. لِمَذَا. Because they know that people in a state of illness, they're in a dire need. So they want to come and preach to them. Preach them to do what? To die upon kufr, a shirk billah. To say that Jesus loves you, Jesus heals you, Jesus is one that protects you. Jesus, if Islam was really a good way of life, then you wouldn't be suffering like this. You wouldn't be going through this hardship. But Jesus is the one that takes your sins. Look at even a moment of death. You know, shaitan, read Talbis Iblis Ibn Jawzi. Deception of the devil attacks everyone from different angles. And even upon death, you know, some of us we feel proud about our iman, we feel so confident about our iman. Read about the end of Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Ahl Sunnah. How even shaitan even came to deceive him. Said that you've got away from me, you've been freed. If somebody said to us now that we get a vision, or somebody says to us words in our mind that you're going to Jannah, you're forgiven, you're pardoned, most of us be rejoicing, thinking we've escaped. But Imam Ahmad didn't fall prey. He didn't fall prey when his son asked him, what is it you were saying on my father? He said, indeed, I knew it was shaitan, making me feel overconfident that I've escaped. that I'm going to enter into Jannah. This is Imam Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Does it become overconfident? What do we find? If we speak openly, what do we find amongst many of our Shabab? So and so will go to Jannah, so and so won't go to Jannah. I end up miftah al Jannah. Do you have the keys to Jannah? Do I have the keys to Jannah? The only person who will be given the keys to Jannah is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's the only individual. No one has any right to Jannah. No one can claim it. No one can inherit it. No one can say it belongs to me specifically. Jannatullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah is the garden that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enters whomever he wants. For actions that they do, actions they may have not done, pardon and forgive them for other actions they may have carried out. That reaches them up to wipe out their sins and their mistakes. And that's our effort should be to remind people about Tawheed. Not condemn people who go away from Tawheed, not to condemn them, to remind them, to encourage them. That life revolves around this. And thus we find, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam speaking about his belief, his conviction. Allah is the one that created me, and He's the one that's going to guide me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. He's the one who feeds me, and He's the one that gives me water to drink. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. If I fall sick, who's the one that cures me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that becomes your aqidah rasikh, that becomes your belief inside your heart, does it make a difference what you're suffering? Because deep down inside your heart, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. If I fall ill, He's going to cure me. Cure may come in this dunya, but if it doesn't come in this dunya, it becomes expiation. That's why you find there's going to be certain individuals, they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا ذَنْبًا عَلَيْهِمْ. Ajeeb. Some people are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no sins upon them at all. Kayf. How's that going to be? How can a person meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they've got no sins? Because a person who may have been suffering from a dire illness, cancer, some other illness, or whatever it may be, that person who bears that, has patience. مَا يَشْتَكِي إِلَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Only complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't complain to any individual. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Yaqub alayhi salam, what did he say? Everything around him, two sons, beloved sons taken away from him, becomes blinded, vision becomes taken away from him. Does he begin to complain with the people around him? What did he say? إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I only complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He knows my state, He knows my situation. Then, وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِي. The one who gives me death and will give me life. وَالَّذِي أَطْعَمُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. The one I aspire and hope to, who will forgive my sins on that day. رَبِّي حَبْلِي حُكْمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Oh my Lord, give me hukman, give me judgment, farasa, insight, wisdom. Give it to me. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And let me return back to me with a righteous individual. This is what the Quran encourages. At-tawheed, at-tawakkul, trust, reliance. That's what the person, when they visit the sick person, or we fall ill ourselves, we should remind ourselves about this. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Place your total trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being. Wait, that is shu'ur. Humans have been created with feelings, emotions. Don't think human beings are black and white. That's what some of us we think. Textually, no. Human beings are various forms, various perceptions, various understandings. That's what the Quran mentioned. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. Allah is the one that makes you laugh. وَأَبْكَى makes you weep. This is how Allah created the human being. Those feelings within the individual, people are different types, different emotions, different feelings. But as long as they understand that these feelings should be channeled in the right direction, don't lose hope, don't despair, don't fret, don't give up. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. Allah is the one that gives life and death. What is it to worry about? Person may have some suffering, some illness. Because obviously our life, our mind is a limited mind. You know, we think that 30 years, 40 years, 50 years is a long time. As you mentioned, it's a limited time. So a person goes through that and has eternal reward. That's why this concept of eternity that we find that many non-Muslims try to make this claim against Islam, that Allah isn't merciful, Allah isn't kind. It's the words they use, a God of anger, of punishment, of wrath. Why does Allah condemn people to Jahannam for eternity? Why does Allah do that? Ulama responded to this centuries ago. Read works of Raddul Mantiq of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi. Centuries ago, he refuted these individuals about their logic and the concept. Amongst the reasons given, وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ إِنَّ هَذَا شَخْصٍ لَوْ تُرِيكَ. If this person was left alone, this person for eternity will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His rightfulness. He punishes the individual for eternity. And likewise, the opposite. If a person is left for the whole of eternity on the face of this earth, that person will always obey Allah. So they deserve eternity. This is one explanation given by ulama. Not the way that they think that a person begins to despair. Don't be surprised, it's trickling into Muslims who are falling ill or sick or hardships come upon them and think that, why am I suffering? If Islam is so beautiful, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so bountiful, so merciful, why am I suffering? Why am I going through this hardship? If a person is afflicted with sickness or anything else, and is patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will cause the person's bad deeds to fall away. Just like leaves fall down from the tree, hadith inside Sahih Muslim. And as you mentioned, until they meet Allah, with no sins upon that individual. There is no eternal illness that these people talk about. It's limited in this dunya. The end result, the end reward, is eternity given to that individual who is patient regarding that. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Ayyub called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I've been afflicted with dur, with affliction, hardships, adversities, and you're the most merciful one. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍ. Allah responded to that individual, to Ayyub alayhi salam, and took away his hardships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that, take away the hardship of individual. There's been many individuals who've travelled to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One individual travelled, totally the person was deaf. Totally deaf that individual was. Travelled with a group of people to Hajj, and when it went outside the Kaaba, and they drank Zamzam, and they're making dua, they felt an explosion inside their ears. And all of a sudden, they could hear. And then they carried on speaking to the family members group with sign language, because for them, for 20 or 30 years of life, they've been speaking in sign language. But just one visiting of the Kaaba, one sincere dua, they began to hear. Another individual, وَأَنَا عَرِفُ شَخْصِيًا, was on a wheelchair, went to perform Umrah, drank Zamzam, made dua. After 10 years of being in a wheelchair, stood up and began to walk. Ikhlas billah. Sincerity, belief that Allah will cure, will heal. And if He doesn't heal me now in this dunya, this becomes an expiation inside the akhirah for the individual. And that's to remind, counsel these individuals, console them, to say to them, Yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. Indeed, after every hardship, there's ease. And according to this verse, ulama of linguistics mentioned, there's not two hardships, there's only one. Because if you repeat in the Arabic language, it only means one. But it's going to be two eases. Ease for that individual if they find their contentment inside their heart, and ease for the individual inside the akhirah. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not bear any soul more than what it can bear. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In conclusion, to encourage ourselves in the hadith Sunan Ibn Majah that we find about the immense reward given to an individual who goes and visits another sick individual. Whoever comes to his Muslim brother and visits him when he is in a state of illness, it is as if he is walking amongst the harvests of paradise, reaping its fruits until he sits down. And when he sits down, he is covered with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. If it is in the morning, then 70,000 angels will send blessings upon him until the evening. And if it happens to be the evening, then 70,000 angels will send blessings upon that individual until the morning. 70,000 angels will pray for that individual who goes and visits another individual. This is what we all need inside our lives. We need supplications We need dua. Likewise, we need dua of human beings, of the masakeen with du'afa. You find in some narrations to help us, give us sustenance, to take care of ourselves. So these people in that dire need, person who goes and visits them. There's some narration they mention that a person, reward is given to the individual who enters happiness into the heart of their brother. So a person visits a sick individual, says good words, reminds them, counsels them, encourages them, just speaks well to them, smiles at them. And as they say, a smile says 1,000 words, takes away a lot of the person's suffering, takes it away from them. That this person remembered me at his moment of need. And in conclusion, you want to conclude about a famous story of a person who's going through immense hardships. In South America, that we find that this individual, that he became paralyzed at a young age of under 30, so paralyzed from neck down, he was totally paralyzed. Nasrani, Christian individual. He got placed in a care home. He couldn't move at all, lying there on the bed. And his parents, they got him a some form of computer system that able to use his voice to operate a computer, to speak and to enter the world around him. So this young boy in a state of paralysis in a devout Christian area, surrounded by Christian, the priest would come and pray to him, his parents would come and pray, remind him about Jesus, belief in Jesus, is paralyzed, neck down. His friend with him is also suffering in a state of paralysis, and he needed a kidney transplant. And they became friends. They would talk every single day. They're living in a care home, speaking about religion, speaking about life. His friend, one day, they found a kidney for him and said that I'm going now to have this transplant carried out. So when he left and they carried out the operation, this individual passed away. He died. That was his only friend. That person who died, the sister of that individual, she took his amulets. Amongst the amulets was a crucifix, a cross. And she placed it on his bed to remember your friend. This person can't move. A cross is placed next to his bed. And he's reminded about Christianity every single day. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide an individual. One day when he falls asleep, a man comes to him in a vision. Says that my name is Muhammad. And points to the cross. That belief is not the way of the prophets. Jesus never believed in that. Read about the life of the prophets. And then he awoke. He can't move. So using his voice, he begins to search for the name Muhammad. He eventually comes to Islam. He eventually comes to the Quran. He reads about the Quran. He takes his shahada, becomes Muslim. He learns how to recite the Quran by a teacher, by Skype or maybe in Egypt. Learns to recite the Quran. That one day the janitor walking past, an Egyptian individual giving up faith, living in this area in America, would go to the church. Imagine, born Muslim, forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but wanted some tranquility, go to the church to find tranquility and peace. So one day he walks past and he hears, "Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr," being recited, Surah Al-Asr. So he opens the door, the individual says that, "What are you listening to?" He said, "I'm not listening to anything, I'm reading the Quran." He said, "What, have you become a Muslim?" He said, "Yes, I've become a Muslim." This individual, born a Muslim, now begins to reflect upon their own life. That how can this individual, in a remote location, remote place, paralyzed, neck down, find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this individual needed to be moved. He needed to go into a special wheelchair, a special van to transport him to go anywhere. He requested, "Take me to the masjid for Jummah." On that day, they couldn't find a special van. They placed him in a normal van. And the bumps and the ride, it increased more pain. And for five or six months, he couldn't move. They refused to let him go anywhere else. So when some people had met him and said that, "How do you feel? Look at the iman of this individual." He said, "I never felt such iman when I went to that masjid. And even though 6 months of lying on the bed, I have a dire, yearning desire to go back to the masjid and go through that same pain again. Even though he's paralyzed, dead down, who made that journey again just to come to the masjid, because he never ever felt such tranquility in his life." We're not Muslims. We're Muslims. We don't want to come in the masjid. We don't want to find spirituality we began with. This is a person in a remote location that Allah guides that individual to find Islam. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حتى يتبينهم أنه الحق. Allah will show them these signs all across the horizons. وفي أنفسكم أفلا تبصرون. Leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even within your own selves, don't you perceive that, understand that. Allah will show you signs. Signs will be given, signs are given to all of us Muslims. We have to grasp those signs. Take them. As they say, leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do what we can do inside our lives. Be sincere inside our lives. Be focused inside our lives. Take this Ramadan, as we mentioned, a turning point inside our lives. As they say, don't worry about everybody else. Focus on yourself and everybody else will follow the same way. That's what Islam needs today. For us to live Islam. Live the mercy of Islam, the compassion of Islam, the love of Islam, the encouragement of Islam to people around us. The Prophet ﷺ, مَا خَالَطَ أَحَدٌ, never mix with any individual except for what? That they left with a good feeling. Read this here. No individual ever mixed with the Prophet ﷺ, but they left with a good feeling. Not everyone may have entered into Islam, but they left with a feeling knowing this is a righteous man, a good person, an honest person, trustworthy individual, doesn't lie, doesn't steal, true to his word, humble, kind, merciful, forgiving, loving, caring. That is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except for the mercy to the worlds. That's what the Prophet alayhi salam was. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That's what we need to develop inside our lives. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that give us the ability to resemble his characteristics, his behavior, his shama'il, his khuluq, to be like him, to imitate him inside our lives. That's what we should pray and ask in this blessed month of Ramadan, to gain that proximity, that lead us proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.